One of my orderlies, the one responsible for his arm, gave up trying to hold them and thought it might be safer if he just braced them against the floor with his knees. But the boy jerked again, and I heard his left arm snap. Jagged ends of both radius and ulna bones stabbed through his gray flesh. Although the boy didn't cry out, didn't even seem to notice, it was enough for both assistants to leap back and run from the room. The boy began to twist in my direction, his arm ripped completely free. Flesh and muscle tore from one another until there was nothing except a stump. His now free right arm, still tied to the severed left hand, dragged his body across the floor. I hurried outside, locking the door behind me. I tried to compose myself, control my fear and shame. My voice still cracked as I asked the villagers how the boy had been infected. A young woman came forward, maybe his mother. You could tell that she had been crying for days. Her eyes were dry and deeply red. She admitted that it had happened when the boy and his father were moon fishing, a term that describes diving for treasure among the sunken ruins of the Three Gorges Reservoir. With more than 1,100 abandoned villages, towns, and even cities, there was always the hope of recovering something valuable. It was a very common practice in those days, and also very illegal. She explained that they weren't looting, that it was their own village, Old Dachang, and they were just trying to recover some heirlooms from the remaining houses that hadn't been moved. She repeated the point, and I had to interrupt her with promises not to inform the police. She finally explained that the boy came up crying with a bite mark on his foot. He didn't know what had happened. The water had been too dark and muddy. His father was never seen again. I reached for my cell phone and dialed the number of Dr. Gu Wenkui, an old comrade from my army days who now worked at the Institute of Infectious Diseases at Chongqing University. We exchanged pleasantries, discussing our health, our grandchildren. It was only proper. I then told him about the outbreak and listened as he made some joke about the hygiene habits of hillbillies. I tried to chuckle along, but continued that I thought the incident might be significant. Almost reluctantly, he asked me what the symptoms were. I told him everything, the bites, the fever, the boy, the arm. His face suddenly stiffened. His smile died. He asked me to show him the infected. I went back into the meeting hall and waved the phone's camera over each of the patients. He asked me to move the camera closer to some of the wounds themselves. I did so, and when I brought the screen back to my face, I saw that his video image had been cut.